Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these skyways and airways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. I just want to thank those of you that continually to make the Old Ship of Zion a continued part of your listening program. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. I just thank you so very much, because without you, it wouldn't be any need for me to be here. But because Jesus has Christians and disciples, people that love God, love the divine word of God being ministered in its entirety, that you hear. And I want to extend, hallelujah, just thank you from the depths of my very heart and soul. All right, I'd like to send condolences out to those of you that has lost loved ones, may it be in the last 48 hours, may it be in the last 24 hours, last 12 hours, 8 hours, 2 hours, 30 minutes ago, even moments ago. And we do that to let you know that you're not alone in your hour of bereavement, but that you have prayer warriors and people of God that are praying one for another around this world. So in your time of despair and of a great loss, this is to let you know that you are not alone, but we are in this together. So when you're weeping, we weep with you. And when you are in triumphant, we are in triumphant along with you as well. So I just want you to know that God is with you every step of your journey. And when you saw only 2 set of footprints, that's when God carried you. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. So I just want God to just pick you up and carry you spiritually in his bosom. I want God to restore your joy and restoration back unto your heart and soul. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. Amen. All right, I just want to thank those of you that are able to tune in on this morning. I know it's a.m. in the early a.m. of the morning. It's around 4:30 and after. And I just thank those of you that continue to tune in whenever you hear that the Old Ship of Zion is on live air. Hallelujah. And if you have any prayer petitions, if you have any testimonies of miracles that God has performed in your life, and you're not ashamed to tell the world about it, we are, hallelujah, anxious to hear from you what God is doing in the lives of his people. And I'm going to put that number up on the monitor. That number again is 646-230-74. That number again is 646-230-74. So at the conclusion of this program, hallelujah, I will prompt you when to call in with your prayer petition, or maybe your testimony, hallelujah, of miracles that God has performed in your spiritual life. Then you are to call in at that time. All right, so now I just want to thank you for allowing me into your workspace. I want to thank you for allowing me into your living room area. Then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. And I just want to ask those of you, we're going to go now into opening prayer. And each time that we approach this podium, we fail not to acknowledge our holy God is a holy deity. And I want to present him to some and introduce to others. His name is Jesus Christ. He's a native of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. But at this time, he's sitting up in his heavenly dominions, sitting on the right-hand side of God. And we just thank you, O gracious Father, for enabling us together, God. Hallelujah. We got a grateful heart that we are presenting to you on this morning. And we know you have love that's unmeasured to anyone, hallelujah, known unto mankind. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Father God, we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have a home that's in waiting for those that are living according to your will and according to your way. And until you crack those clouds on historical day, in all of your glory and your omnipotent power, we will continue, God, to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Enable me to bring on the word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity, God. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every individual that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. We'd be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the people of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to come on in and get your good seat. I have the chat room available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. And you can bring your chip, your dip, whatever you want to sip. You can bring your latte, your OJ, and you can bring your water beverages. Whatever you have at your disposal, just bring those aboard. Bring also your digital devices, because we are living in a digital society. So you can bring your smartphone, maybe your laptop or your tablet, and just come aboard and engage in this live church service on this morning. All right, without any further ado, we're going to take you now into a live program that's already in progression. And I'm scheduled to be with you an hour and a half. And we're 29 seconds into our program at this time. So our sermon on this morning entitled A Weeping World, Volume 2. I want to say that one more time. This morning's sermon entitled A Weeping World, Volume 2. And we're going to read our first key scripture. And it reads like this. It says that the Lord is my potion, saves my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. That scripture reading is coming out of the Law of Limitations 3 and 24. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to read our next key scripture, and it reads this. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. That scripture reading is coming out of the Law, Psalms 30 and 11. All right, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to go to our next key scripture, and it reads this. It says that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. That scripture reading is coming out of the Law of Romans 5 and 3. All right, our next key scripture reads this. Let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, hallelujah, nor go worship your gold image, which you have set up. And that scripture reading is coming out of the Law of Daniel 3 and 18. And here is our final key scripture for this morning, and it reads this. Hallelujah. It says that you, O Lord, are a shield for me. Glory, hallelujah, and the one who lift up my head. That scripture reading is coming out of the Law of Psalms 3 and 3. And you know, with all the devastation that's going on, not in just one section of the world, but throughout the world, we have unrest. We have chaos. And then in our own families, we have sickness and diseases that's running rapidly in our family circles, taking the lives of our loved ones. May it be our spouses, may it be our parents, our grandparents, our sons and daughters, our grandchildren, our aunt and uncle, our colleagues, business partners, and those that are dear and near unto our heart. Hallelujah. Then we have a satanic force that's also that is running rapidly in our world. But we know that it does not catch God by surprise. God sees all and he knows all, and it's all under the direction of Christ himself. If God do not sign his approval on it, then it will not go forth, but only under the direction in the guidance of God can evil go out and do what it do. But we know that we are definitely living in evil times. We're living in evil times where anything look like pretty much goes. People can just doing stuff that you never heard of before in your life. They're just taking your life and not even thinking twice. But we know that it's not going to always be that way. There's going to come a time when God himself, he's not going to send the angel. He's not going to send Gabriel. He's not going to send Isaac. He's not going to send John, Peter, Paul. But God himself is going to come, and God is going to wipe the tears from yours and mine and our eyes for the last time. We won't have to suffer no more. We won't have to weep and moan and cry over the loved ones that we have lost. Hallelujah. But we will be able to just enjoy Jesus and worship his name and honor him throughout eternity. But while we're here on planet Earth, God tells you and I and us, he told us to work until he come. So that's what we should be doing, and that's what he should find us doing, is working. Because God said we must work while it's day. Because when darkness come, no one, no man or woman can see how to work. So like I first stated, I theme on this morning entitled A Weeping World, Volume 2. You know, I'm reminded of a mother, hallelujah, she was told about her son had been killed in an accident on his job. And in that moment, her life was flooded with tears. And then there was another family. A sudden heart attack snatched away her husband, leaving a wife to face life alone. More tears. You know, we live in a weeping world. And the book of Lamentation was written by Jeremiah, who is called the weeping prophet. We're told that the citizen of Judea had been taken into captivity, Jerusalem laid in ruins, and the people were destined. Their suffering was horrible beyond belief, and the prophet wept continuously. Yet Jeremiah still confirmed the mercy, the compassion, and the faithfulness of God. And I want you to know, whatever you're going through on this morning, if you've lost a loved one, I want you to know that God, hallelujah, can restore your joy. I tell you, as the old saying says, that there is not any heartaches and pains that you and I succumb that heaven cannot heal. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. God can take you through. You might be wondering how you're going to make it without the spouse or without that husband, means of their support. Here to encourage your heart that God will be a husband for you. He'll be a wife for you. He'll be a mother and a father, sister and a brother. God will be a physician for you. He'll be an attorney for you. God will be everything and anything that you and I need him to be on the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. So I want you to just stay encouraged and don't throw in the towel. You come too far to turn around. And just know that your reward is laid up in heaven. I don't care what we have accumulated here on earth. It will not go into the coffin. And if it go into the coffin, some of your jewelry and brooches and, you know, some of your possessions that we find out that some of us is being laid out in, you know, musical instruments and so forth and so on. But as far as that go, you know, whatever we have monetarily, you know, our furnishing and our clothing, jewelry and all of that, when Jesus cracked those clouds, we will have any need of those things, because they was just for earth only. We will not need those things in heaven, because the things that we thought were so precious, like diamonds and gold, was so precious here on earth, will not be looked upon as so valuable in heaven, because the gold that you and I wear, may it be your wedding band or a bracelet, may it be a necklace, earrings, gold will be something that you and I in heaven will be walking upon, and that is, the Bible described the streets in heaven is paved in pure gold. And so the things that you once and you and I once used here on earth will have any you know, will have any value in heaven. We won't even need our cell phone in heaven. We won't need our car keys for our car and our truck, your boat, your motorcycle, you know, your house, your condo, your palace, your penthouse, your tent, your beachfront, your island. You won't need any of those things in heaven, because the purpose of us living down here is to serve God. Serve God with our heart, with our mind, and our soul, and all of our beings. We are to serve God. That is the only purpose that Jesus went to Calvary Mountain over 2,000 light years ago, as I first stated earlier. That's the only reason that God went to Calvary Cross, as a ransom for yours and mine and our sins, a debt that we could not pay, because it taken somebody that was sinless, didn't have a blemish on him, and Jesus didn't have a blemish on him. The Bible said he knew not any sin, and neither was a guile found in his mouth. So Jesus was holy from the beginning, and he's holy from beginning without an end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's the reason that Jesus went and was allowed to be hung high and spread wide upon the cross for yours and mine and our sin. And our sin alone. And we can never pay God. But what we can do, we can give God our life and our soul. By spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone who will listen. God don't force his word on anyone, so you and I are to do the same. God give us all a choice. He tell us to choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You can't serve Satan and God at the same time. Well, the Bible says you will love the one and hate the other. But I tell you, we're living in a weeping world on today. I mean, everywhere you look, there's chaos, there's killing, there's slaughter. We're just like a slaughterhouse. You know, people are just doing anything that they're big enough and bad enough to do. And now they're taking the easy road out, because we know that the Satan, which is our adversary, the Bible says that he come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But God said that I come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. So we know that his M.O., every single hour, minute, second of the day or night, his motive is to kill. You said, kill who over the war? Kill anybody. Kill anybody. He don't have selective person to kill. He'll kill anybody that he feel like, you know, is vulnerable, that he can use and manipulate. And so if he can manipulate you long enough and tell you, you know, it's no use in you serving God. You know, you're not going to go to heaven because you done lived such a bad life. You know, you done done so much until, you know, you're not worthy and God is not going to allow you into his kingdom. But you can know that's far from the truth, because God died for the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, in the law of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So we know that God died so you and I could live and live again in the next life to come. Hallelujah. So, like I said, you know, I'm going to send condolences out to the school in San Bernardino, California, where two adults and a child was killed, and then one was injured. And we're going to send prayers out to those individuals' families because their lives was taken by satanic force. But we can talk and we can send prayers out to those families. And we want you to just look to the hills which cometh your help, because we know that your help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And we know that weeping might endure for a night, but we know that joy cometh in the morning. God can restore your joy. God can restore your contentment. God can restore your peace. God can restore your happiness. God can restore your loneliness. God can fill any void that you have into your life today. All you have to do is put your trust in Him. See, we have to trust God even when we can't trace Him. But we know that God's word is true. God's word is alive and well. It is just as vibrant, just as real today as it was yesterday, as it was 2,000 light years ago. It's the same word. His word do not change. God do not change. Nor does He change His mind about His word. But His word is what we are to live by. Those 66 books from the beginning, Genesis to its conclusion, Revelation. And so, those of you that are weeping on today, just allow God to dry your weeping eyes. Because there's going to come a day when we will not have to cry anymore. The Bible says that every day will be the same day. So every day will be Sunday, and Sabbath will have no end. We will just say howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. You won't have to say goodbye to the loved ones that's gone on, hallelujah, before us. But that would be the end to death. That will put the bed of sickness and diseases for its final curtain call. Hallelujah. And we're talking about a weeping world. So much devastating going on around the world, and they're just targeting the Christian people that want to take a stance for God and His word. But I want you to know the devil might have won some of the battles, but I'm here to tell you God is going to be the one that will win the war, because this world belongs to God, and it's nobody walking, nobody that's breathing on this earth that can outdo God, outsmart God. There's no one. He says, I am the beginning and I am the end. Hallelujah. I'm Alpha and Omega. And He says that our change is not. We change. You know, we change our disposition. We change our hair color. We change our clothing. We change our shoes. We change his cars. We change his homes. We change his marriages. We do a lot of changing. But it's one person that never changed, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So like I said, in this life, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through heartaches. We're going to go through pitfalls. We're going to go through setbacks, setups, booby traps. But God, Word, tell us. He said, I'll never leave you, my child. I'll never forsake you, my child. But I, your heavenly Father, will be with you to the end of the earth. To the end of the earth. So that's everlasting to everlasting. That our heavenly Father will be with you and I and us. Hallelujah. You know, there's an old song that says, I don't know why I have to cry sometimes. I don't know why I have to sigh sometimes. So, but I'll find out, hallelujah, by and by. You know, we know where we've been. You can look back over your previous life and you know where you've been. But you cannot speculate your future. Only God holds the key. You know where you've been, but you don't know where you're going. But you have one thing in mind. Those that are rooted and grounded in God. You're not going to let a demon, a devil in hell, outside, around hell, deter your mind from your God. Because there is a reward for each and every one of us that say yes to God and no to a satanic force. The Bible says that you have a crown of life laid up, hallelujah, for you and I and us. You have a robe and you also have symbols. And they're not just any old robe. But it's a robe, a snow white robe, as white as you ever witnessed in all of your life. And your slippers, the Bible says, gold. Golder than anything you ever witnessed on planet Earth. You have not seen anything as pretty as the beholding of the slippers that God has in waiting. The robe that God has in waiting. The crown that God has in waiting for you and I and us. But we have to live like God has instructed us to live, to be able to acquire that crown, to acquire that robe, to acquire those gold slippers, to acquire that mansion. It's not built by mortal man. It's not built by wood and it's not built by marble and tar, nails with a hammer. But it's built by God himself. He is the builder. Hallelujah. He is the builder. He is the creator. Do you hear me? I said he is the builder. He is the creator. God built that mansion himself. And all we have to do is live how he told us to live. He said that my burdens, my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. So we know there's nothing complicated about living holy. All we have to do is have a made up mind and a mind that's made up. You can do it. You can do it. If you want to do it, you can do it. All you have to do is just say yes to God. Yes to your will and yes to your way. I serve you, Lord, now to the rest of my days. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And like I first stated, we're talking about Jeremiah. And from deep within him, his soul was saying, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I hope in him. Hallelujah. What realism in those tear-saturated words? It's the reality that weeping and lamentations do not necessarily reflect a weak faith or a lack of trust in God. Some of us may think that Christians must feel joyful even when the heart is breaking, or at least try to appear that way. But Jeremiah's experience refutes that. Tears are a natural part of a Christian life. But thank God, one day in glory, our blessed Savior will wipe them all away. That scripture reading is coming out of law of Revelation 21 and 4. Christians, when your way seems darkest, when your eyes with tears are dim, go to God your Father quickly. Tell him your troubles all to him. We know that the soul would have no rainbow if the eyes had no tears. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised, God. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. And we bless your name here this morning, God. We won't take your glory. We won't take your praise. But we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. Hallelujah. And you know, I want to share another story with you about a young Christian. He had another believer that was a little older than he was. And he asked him, he says, will you pray that I might have more patience? So they knelt together and the man began to pray and said, Lord, send this young man tribulations in the morning and send him tribulations in the afternoon and send him tribulations at night. And just as a young man, hallelujah, he blurted out, he says, no tribulations. Said, I asked for patience. And then the older believer said, yes, I know. Said, but it's through tribulations that we learn patience. And we know that the word perseverance in today's scripture can mean that it's the ability to remain steadfast under difficulties without giving up. Even though you're weeping on today, because we're talking about a weeping world, volume 2. You're weeping for whatever is ailing you, whatever have your heart in despair, in despondent, in a ray, may it be a layoff, a pink slip, may it be a doctor's note, may it be someone that said something unkind, may it be a broken family relationship, but whatever have your heart weeping today, I'm here to tell you that God can wipe all the tears from your eyes. Not saying that you won't get any more later on in this life, but you will. All we have to do is keep on keeping on, keep living. And if there be any that has not had a suffering, you should count it all joy and just keep living. For we know that God had favored you. But we all have to suffer in this life. And that reason that we suffer is because of sin. Sin brings us to this weeping world that I'm talking about. This sin of disobedience brought sin about. Because if Adam and Eve had been obedient to God, then God wouldn't have to went to die for our sins. He wouldn't have to been whipped with 39 stripes across his back. He wouldn't have to be pierced in his side with a sparrow. He wouldn't have to had a crown of thorns placed upon his head through his very flesh around his headband. Wouldn't have had the gigantic nails that was driven in his hands, left and right hands, and his feet as well, one placed upon the other, and gigantic nails driven from the top layer to the very last layer of God's flesh. This would have been a saved nation. We wouldn't have known anything about sin. But because of man disobedient, that's why we have to cry. That's why we weep in this world. But there will be a day that God will wipe yours and mine tears for the final time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so we know that God will give you and I the ability to remain steadfast under difficulties and without throwing in the towel, without giving up. But only a believer who has faced distress can develop steadfastness. That in turn developed character when the Apostle Paul told the Christians in Rome that tribulation produced perseverance. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 5 and 3. He was speaking from personal experience. He had suffered beatings and whippings and stoning and shipwrecked persecution. Yet he remained steadfast in his faith and he did not shrink from his responsibilities to preach the gospel. And you know, you will be ridiculed, you'll be talked about, you'll be spit upon, you'll be beaten, you'll be tried in the fire for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the word of God tells you and I and us, those who die, not saying everyone will have to die, but just saying that the Bible tells us that those who dies for the sake of the gospel, you have assurance that you will reign with God forever and ever. That's a guaranteed. That's coming from the prophetic mouth of God. I didn't say that that's what God said. So if you are facing a difficulty test, you can praise God under his wise control. Everything that happened to you and I and us, whether pleasurable or painful, it is designed, the Bible says, to develop a Christ-like character. That's why we can glory in our tribulations. You might say, Overseer Ward, that sounds insane. Well, I'm just telling you what God says, so surely you're not saying that God's word is insane, because I'm reading directly from the word of God. So sometimes things that God tells us might sound not sane or logic, but it's logic. Because God said, I'm not going to give you more than I know that you can bear. God is not going to put no more on you than he know that you can bear. But see, Satan, on the other hand, he'll just pile one trial after another upon you. He don't care. He'll just keep piling on until he gets you to give in to what he wants you to do. He wants you over there in his playground. He wants you over there on his turf so he can manipulate and dictate to you how he want to run you in your life. He wants you to miss heaven and hit hell bottom. But the Bible says that Hell doesn't have a bottom. So you will just be like a dryer when you put your clothes from the washing machine to the dryer. You put them in that dryer, and then when you shut the door and press power or start, your clothing start tumbling around in the dryer, and they just keep tumbling and tumbling until the heat elements, you know, vibrate throughout the drying cycle. But hell, the Bible says that hell has no bottom. So that's why it is called the bottomless pit. So that's what the enemy wants to do. He don't want you to live for God because he wants you to go to hell where he's going. He's surely going because there's no way that he can satisfy the death and penalty that God has already paid for mankind. So he's doomed and he knows it. So he wants you to be doomed right along with him because he knows that he can never make it right with God ever again. He can never make it right, no matter what he do or say. He had his chance, and he forfeited. He didn't want to live for God and under his direction and instructions. He wanted to just be the opposite. He wanted God to bow down to him. He said, if you would, you know, just fall down and worship me, all of this I'll give to you. He was showing him the world. You know, I'll give you all this, the world, if you fall down and worship me. And God told him, says, do not tempt the Lord thy God. Yeah, that's what it is. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So how would Satan give God what's already his? You know, it's just like when you lose a loved one, and you may be your father, your mother, and you're an heir. How can they say, you know, but we're going to give you what your father, what he had, or what he left you, may it be monetarily, or may it be in possessions, property, or possessions, or whatever. How could somebody come along and tell you, I'll give you, you know, part of the settlement, you know, of the money, if you would, you know, just do this here for me or do that there for me, I will give you part of this money. Well, you know, that person is talking insane because they cannot give you what's already yours. So whatever you got coming, being an heir, you're already going to get. See? So Jesus already told us, he said that he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns heaven, and he says earth is his footstool. So God owns heaven, and he owns earth, and then he say on the heavens. So he owns the heavens above heaven, and then beneath heaven, and then he owns above earth, then he owns beneath earth. Then he owns hell, above hell, beneath hell. So he owns it all. He owns it all. He owns it all. So the devil don't have anything to offer you but death, hell, and the grave. He want to cause you to weep the remaining of your life here on planet Earth. He wants you to be reaping, crying because something that he has taken from you. Because what he does, he manipulates individuals. You know, maybe somebody in our family circle, you know, our kids, our nieces, our nephews, someone that's near and dear to our heart, even adults. He manipulates us if he can. And that's only if you and I allow him. But see, God give you power, spiritual power, that comes with living a holy and sanctification lifestyle. That comes with being filled with the Holy Ghost / Holy Spirit. So you can call it spirit, you can call it ghost. But it's having the anointing of God on your life, where the Bible says you can speak to this mountain, tell it to go here or there, and it will remove itself. You can say it fall on into the sea. And that's what the mountain will do. It'll go on into the sea. You'll have the power, because God will enable you to have power. He said that you shall have power, supernatural power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You cannot do these things without the Holy Ghost. Now, don't let nobody fool you and lie to you. You cannot do these things just being saved. You have to have a Holy Ghost power that's a keeper. That's a power surge that you can look the demon eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, nose to nose, cheek to cheek, lip to lip. And you can tell that demon, I command you to flee. You can tell that sickness, that terminal illness, you said, I demand it to flee, and it can flee. I don't care what the doctor tells you. The doctor is telling you what he went to school to do, and that is diagnose. But we have a great physician. That's Jesus Christ. He said, by my 39 stripes, you are healed. So you can speak life into your family circle, your circle of friends. Speak life into your husband. Speak life into your wife. Speak life into your grandfather and your grandmother. Speak life into your great aunt and your great uncle and your great aunt. Speak life into your cousins, female and male. Speak life into your children. May they be adopted as children, or may they be your birth children. Speak life into their circle, because you have the power. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You have the power to speak it. Speak it with your tongue. And God will bring it to pass. That's how that works. So, but the enemy wants you to be weeping Monday through Sunday. If you lost someone yesterday, a week ago, he don't care if you lose somebody the next day, the next hour, the next second. He could care less. Because his MO, his motive, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Every day. And he don't take any vacations. He don't take any sick leaves. He don't take lunch breaks. And he don't take any days off. So he is continually working, nonstop. The Bible says he's walking to and for, seeking whom he may devour. And that's anybody and everybody that will allow him in to their circle. But see, you have to bind that demon, and you have to send him running. Jesus told Satan, says, get thee behind me, Satan. After he tempted him, after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says he was of a hungry and of a thirst. And so Satan thought that, hey, you know, I got him right where I want him. Now he's weak, you know, and he's famished. And so I believe that I carry him up in this mountain. I tell him that if he fall down and worship me, all of this I'll give to him. See, but then after he did that, and then God told him, you know, that he shouldn't do that. And then God told him, said, get thee behind me. So Satan did just what God commanded him to do. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And Satan got behind God. He had to get on out the way because he knew that God, you know, could kill him. But see, God is using him since he didn't, you know, since he didn't want to work to live forever in heaven. We know that he's doomed now. So he will be living forever in eternity hell. Eternal hell is where he will be living. He'll be right down there with the rich man. We have some witnesses that know that hell is real. And the Bible says the rich man went to hell, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So we know that hell is real. Hell is definitely real. It's just as you're sitting and listening to me or whatever you're doing, it's real. It's not a fable, but it's a fact. Hell is real. And eternity is without end. Hallelujah. We're talking about A Weeping World, Volume 2. We're talking about the enemy wanting to lead you down the wrong path. He don't want you to know God. He don't want you to read the word of God. He don't want nobody witnessing to you on the street corners, in the laundromat, standing in the grocery line, in the bank, standing at a revival, standing in an alley, standing on the curb, walking down the sidewalk. He don't want anybody to get close to you talking about Jesus. As long as he can keep you manipulated, you know, like a little toy he can toy around with, that's just the way he wants it. But see, the Bible says that you have power and you don't have to subdue what the enemy brings to you. You can tell him, no, I'm not going to allow you to use me and deter my mind from God, because anybody, the Bible says, that have the hand to the plow, but you're looking back. So if you're in God, but yet you're looking back for something, you're looking back to say, hey, what if I go back out there for one last good time? I want to meet with Miss Jones. I want to meet with Mr. Jones. I want to go down to memory lane one more time. I want to go to the titty bar one more time. I want to go get on the dance floor and bump and grind one more time. I want to get me one last bottle of booze. I want to hit me one more joint one more time. I want to sniff some LSD, some glue, paint, thinner, whatever it is to get you high on. I want to do that one more time. I want to go to Do Drop In. I want to go to Holiday Inn. I want to go to, Motel 6 or whatever it is, I think, and Deluxe 8 or 9 or whatever it is. So, you know, you're thinking about, what if I go back out there and have me one last good time? But you got your hand in God's hands, but now you're looking back into the world. The Bible says that anyone that has his or her hand on the plow and is yet looking back is not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. You can't serve God and serve Satan at the same time. The Bible says you're going to love one and going to hate the other. But Satan wants you weeping every day of your life. He don't want you to have anything. He says you don't need a house. You need to be outdoors in the street. You don't need a car. You need to walk. You don't need any shoes. You need to go barefooted. You know, you're trying to look good. You don't need to look good. Just put on something, anything. Mix Mac. He don't care. He's just the opposite of everything that's good and decent. He's just the opposite of that. like I said, he can make your life a living hell. That's what he intends to do. But you got to wake up and you got to know that there is a God that sit high and look low. He's looking over the good as the well is not so good. Hallelujah. And Jesus said he needs somebody in his vineyard. He needs some workers that have said, Lord, I'll go, send me. It doesn't matter how many hours I have to put in. Doesn't matter if I have to cry, if I have to pray over somebody. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I have to go out in the valley. I have to get my clothes dirty to witness to somebody, to sit with somebody that's not as clean as you and I and us. But you're willing to go every step of the way to please God. Not to please man, but to please God. Then I would encourage you, listen to the voice of God. Don't listen to the hype that the devil has, the booby trap that's set out for you. He wants to kill you. I'm telling you, the devil want to kill you. He didn't get to kill you yesterday, so he's going to try to kill you today. He didn't get to kill you an hour ago, but he's got another few seconds. He didn't get to kill you 8 hours ago, so he's going to try to kill you in the next 5 hours, in the next minute, the next moment, the next second. He's going to try to destroy you. But see, you got to call on Jesus. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So the Bible tells us that weeping might endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The New Testament gives you and I and us many reasons to rejoice. And for example, Jesus said, rejoice because your name are written in heaven. That scripture reading is coming out of Luke, out of the law of Luke 10 and 20. The Apostle Peter spoke of the reason believers can rejoice with joy inexpressible. He said in the law of 1 Peter 1 and 8, we're not asked to pretend that problems don't exist, but to rejoice even in the midst of them. You can rejoice in the midst of your tsunami, in the midst of your hurricane, in the midst of whatever you're going through this morning. Heaven aches and pains that's moving in the extremities of your body that will not subside. They just keep you hurting and hurting and hurting. You went to the doctor, and the doctor have given you medication, but it has not done you any good. It has not subdued. But I would encourage you to call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. You can perform the ABCs. You can admit that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus died and he rose again on that third day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Confess your sins. Ask God into your life. Tell God you're tired of running and you want to run for him now. You're tired of being the slave master for Satan, Lucifer, our adversary. And you want to live the remaining of your life here on earth serving God. God hears our every moan and our every groan. God even fill in the blank when we can't even speak. God is a heart reader. He's a mind regulator. So whatever you're going through, you're weeping on today, just know that God is the only one that can wipe your weeping eyes on today. So if you have any prayer petitions, you're encouraged to call into the studio dial-up prayer petition line, and I will gladly pray with you and for you your prayer petition that you place at the feet of God. If you have any miracles that you would like to relate to the world and let them know what God has done and continued to do in your life, then you're welcome to call in. And before ending, we're going to change the dynamics of this program. We're going to turn you over to Hymns of Zion, but I'm going to first bring our program to its conclusion. I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondent. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward. Hallelujah. God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondents, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. We're going to now turn you over to our second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So, I want you to know that Jesus loved you. You don't have to continue to weep, but you can smile with gladness. Hallelujah. God can turn your midnight into day. He can take your weeping into joy. All you need to do is just let God be the head of your life. Let him be your Lord and your Savior. And God will live in that temple. I'm talking about in that spiritual heart of yours and reside as long as it is holy. And you can be a valuable asset to God in the kingdom of his work. So, till we meet again, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. You are to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. So till we meet again, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye. For now. Thank you.
Hello.
Aloha.
Yeah, who is this?
It's Jimmy.
Hey, what's up, y'all? What's up? Where y'all at?
We're in Maui.
Whoa, y'all had a show over there?
Vacation.
Oh, excuse me, excuse me.
Hey, Monica just called us and told us she had this really awesome song. What is it about?
Yeah, me and Anson wrote this joint called What He Wants. And it's basically talking about being what God wants you to be and not worrying about what people say or what people think you should be. There's a key phrase in the song that says, careful about putting your mouth on me. And that basically means you can't just talk about a child of God in any kind of way. You know, if there's an anointing on somebody's life, then you should really be careful about what you say about them.
Sing a little bit of it for us.
Okay, hold on. Let me turn this music down. All right, here you go.
You're up my heart. Number one, how all for me. This is what he wants. Okay, come on, I'm ready.
Now I'm born enough, wise enough, known enough to know.
Well, you know, girls, I am so happy. I have so much joy right now because I'm able to do this project with you, and this third project, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
And when I think about it and I reflect on our past and how we're truly friends, it just makes my heart smile.
Yeah, it feels good to live every day and live the life that God has blessed me with, and to know that He fulfills all His promises.
He does fulfill all His promises, and I think I would love for all the women out there to know that you don't have to pay someone or chase someone down. Pursue your dreams, because God will send someone just for you, and when He does, you'll feel 16 again.
Yeah. But wiser.
Wise enough. Wise enough.
No, she said the end of the video.
Thanks for the traffic report. It's 88 degrees this afternoon. What a beautiful, blessed day. I am feeling truly blessed. How about you? Brand new, Trinity 5-7.
Cause I've been missing you. And I've been waiting for you. Thank you.